broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio, the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we follow the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. We're also convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution, as you know, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And man, have we got a broadcast for you today talking about the separation of powers. That's one of the great keys we have at our fingertips for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We mention this all the time, but I got some sound bites from Senator Mike Lee that break some of that down for your understanding. It is critical that we need federalism and the separation of powers to truly make a difference, folks. And people don't realize how critical this is. Right now, the American people feel like somehow they've been kind of sidelined in the appropriate carrying out of the proper role of limited government. But it isn't really true. It feels like it because we're not insisting on the checks and balances that our founding fathers brilliantly put in place. But we can restore that. We can work on that. It is the opportunity of a lifetime, if you will. Anyway, we'll break that down a little bit on the broadcast today. We got a lot of news the networks refuse to use for you, too. It's amazing when people aren't live on Saturdays, for example. They miss a whole weekend full of news. When you think about it in American politics and when things go so fast in the news cycle and such, man, when you do, let's just say, a show Friday morning like we usually do, if a talk show host is 5 days a week, just say, you know, you do a show Monday morning by 9 a.m., you're done. Our show is 7 to 9 a.m. Mountain Time, right? So 9 a.m., you're done on Friday, and you got all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and then, you know, you're on the air Monday morning, 7 to 9 a.m., man, you've missed a lot of news. There's so much that goes across the wire. It is beyond imagination. So we've expanded the show Monday through Saturday for that very reason. And, you know, you miss, let's say we get off the air at 9 Saturday morning. Certainly you got all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and then you're back live Monday. What you do is you gather the news on Saturday. You ignore the news on Sunday, except for if something is so critical, you see it Monday morning, right? And so you keep the Sabbath day holy, but you're live as often as possible throughout the week to keep up on the news cycle and then not miss critical news the networks refuse to use stories. So we'll break down some of those, too, as the broadcast continues. LibertyRoundtable.com. Yesterday's broadcast, it was a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. And we had 2 hours of great, I'm talking great, radio. Okay, we started out and said this LRT, that's Liberty Roundtable Broadcast, is brought to you in part by localhoneyman.com. That's our co-host Kurt Crosby's website, localhoneyman.com. And I'm telling you, he's got some incredible tasting raw honey that he can deliver to your door. Now, it might be tough to get it for Thanksgiving now, but you could try. But I'm telling you, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, for birthdays, for just because I love yous, for something nice to put on your table, for we're going to have guests over and we want something nice, I'm telling you right now, you use some of that raw honey and you make honey butter, it is just tremendous stuff. Or raw honey to put on your rolls at dinner. I'm just telling you right now, just good stuff. Your toast in the morning, it doesn't get better than that. They've even got a pumpkin spice raw honey available now. Check it out. Get a hold of Kurt to learn more. C-U-R-T at LibertyRoundtable.com. You can email him or you can call him, 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or just simply point your browser to localhoneyman.com. Our guests yesterday, for both hours of the show, we had our guest on Sherry Peel Jackson. She's CEO of SP Jackson Consulting, SherryPeelJackson.com, her website. Just like it sounds, Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-Y, Sherry, Peel, P-E-E-L, Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-O-N. SherryPeeleJackson.com, her website. She does some tremendous consulting to help people save money big time. Her idea is, hey, you can't shut down the IRS because the criminals in Washington won't let us, right? But you can starve the agency out, and that's what her attempts are through her consulting. She does a phenomenal job. Let Sherry Peel Jackson, America's leading financial specialist, to pastor, to women, and to hardworking families help you keep your money. If you're in need of financial transformation and you want to keep your money in your pocket, well, get a hold of her. She'll dramatically change your life. Anyway, it was a great two-hour broadcast. Okay, Sherry stayed on the whole 2 hours. And we also had our second guest on, Richard Mack, who helped the interview. So it was Sam and Richard and Kurt and Sherry Peel Jackson. I'm telling you, great discussion. We talked about how Sherry went to jail on some very flimsy charges that, what, she didn't file her taxes? Lou Rockwell asks the fair question, is the income tax a form of slavery? The answer is clearly yes. Now, Sherry Peel Jackson is a black woman. We're white men. If you believe the narrative of the mainstream press, we hate each other, don't we? We feel like we're superior because she's black. We feel like we're superior because we're men, right? That's the divide false lines they create, folks. None of it's true. It's all mainstream press, fake news subterfuge, if you will, or deception. Dishonesty is what I would call it. The truth is, I think Sherry Peel Jackson is a wonderful lady. I don't care that she's black. I don't care that she's a woman. She's very capable consultant in her own right. She was smart enough when confronted with serious questions to do the research. She's intelligent as all get out. She does the research. She finds out that the organization, the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service that she works for, is a flat-out fraud, a sham. She stands up boldly. She literally, on the altar of truth, throws away her career as an IRS agent. She hangs out with guys like Joe Bannister, a white male that tells the truth as well. And both of them, as Americans, are standing for God, family, and country, for the American way, for the American people, and for ultimately the truth. And I say good on her, and we commend her, and we appreciate her, and we think of her as a dear friend. We're in awe of her sacrifice for her country. We're grateful for her leadership and her intelligence and her guidance and her understanding. And I just can't say enough about her because I think she's done a phenomenal job. And she points out, look, we're all slaves to the IRS, black, white, male, female. You know, we're all slaves to this unconstitutional behemoth known as the IRS. She points us wisely to the movie that's been out for a long time. And if you haven't seen it in the Patriot community, you're just, wow, you're living under a rock. Nevertheless, the movie's called America, From Freedom to Fascism. Full-length documentary done by Aaron Russo. I've watched this film many a times in my day. It's been around for a long time. It's nothing new to the Patriots. But the fact that she circles back to that movie to document some of the things that she learned. Now you got Joe Bannister, who testifies nobly, boldly, and independently. You've got Sherry Peel Jackson, who does the same thing. Sherry did time for her stance. Sad, but true. There is no liberty with innocence in prison, I'll remind you. Nevertheless, she still stands boldly, nobly, and independently as a free American. Good on Sherry. But she points out this documentary, America, Freedom to Fascism, that documents a lot of this, too, that there's just no law that requires people to file income tax. It is voluntary, but they just manipulate and lie and to the point where, you know what? If you don't file your taxes, you're likely to go to jail. Anybody who takes them on ends up in jail, folks. Look at Steve Stockman, latest casualty of running afoul of the IRS. Lois Lerner committed fraud against conservatives. Donald Trump literally will not look in to Lois Lerner's reality. But Steve Stockman sits in prison, and Donald so far doesn't lift a finger. Donald, I pray for you and Jared Kushner that you do something. Please, please help us. Anyway, the riveting interview with Sherry Peel Jackson and Richard Mack continued into the second hour. It was so good. We talked about this Liberty Roundtable broadcast is brought to you by localhoneyman.com. We talked about the fear factor from the IRS is more than real. It's not a TV show. It's absolutely out of control. We talked about the IRS warns of tax scams, unclaimed money, Deseret News. But you know what? The IRS alone is a big, massive tax scam. And nobody on the national stage with any clout has the wherewithal, the guts to take it on, or else they'll wind up in the clink. Did you know that? We talked about one of the best ways to fight the IRS legally, lawfully, without getting into trouble, is to start a home-based business. You can beat them at their own game, as Sherry Jackson wisely points out. You can reduce your taxes substantially, and if enough of us did that, it would literally starve the IRS out. I also mentioned that if a million Americans or more would send a postcard every single day to the IRS in a coordinated effort saying, shut down the behemoth unconstitutional agency that has become judge, jury, and executioner. You could create postcards, and Americans could send those out. And if a million Americans did it every day, you would get attention. But again, this is where I'm talking about the checks and balances in America falling apart because Americans aren't taking our job to protect, to preserve, to defend our liberty seriously enough. We talked about a judge orders the Donald Trump administration to restore CNN's Jim Acosta to the White House. He temporarily gets his press pass back. On one hand, they act like they beat the Donald. They call it a win for CNN, but I don't think so. I'll explain in minutes. We also talked about the former United States tax court judge and her husband sentenced for multi-year tax fraud. Diane L. Kraupa goes to jail. Wow, the judge goes to jail? That's right.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
All right, hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips, ladies and gentlemen, that's for sure. That was a recap of yesterday's broadcast, still available online at libertyroundtable.com. While you're there, have the heart to help donate, would you please? Every penny will help grow our presence in the media as we tell the tale of liberty everywhere we go. God, family, and country, the protection of life, liberty, and property, live 6 days a week just for you. If we had more money, we could go on tour and broadcast live from all kinds of incredible events. We only can do that from time to time because the financial constraints are upon us. We're not begging you to support our families, folks. We work for a living. We have day jobs, by the way. That's okay. Love it. want to work with our own hands for our own support, but we do want your money to help grow our presence in the media, not to take care of our families. We need money for travel. We need money for equipment. We need money to help tell the tale of liberty and promote this radio broadcast. Not only do we do Liberty Roundtable Live, a two-hour radio talk show, Monday through Saturday, so 6 days a week, 12 hours of live news, the networks refuse to use talk at your fingertips, but we also run a radio network, libertynewsradio.com. And at Liberty News Radio, it's our talk show. It's also many other talk show hosts around the clock that tell the tale of freedom as well. So your financial support would be greatly appreciated. LibertyRoundtable.com or LibertyNewsRadio.com. All right, that's a recap of yesterday's show. I'm telling you, it's a share with everybody, timeless interview with Sherry Peel Jackson. Doing a great job. We're grateful for her and for her leadership. All right. Now, news the networks refuse to use today starts now. And as I mentioned at the start of the show, you know, you just can't let a whole weekend go by, including most of Friday, all of Saturday, all of Sunday, without discussing the news, because you just miss out on so much when you do. So Donald Trump, I guess, got beat in the courts, according to the mainstream press, where CNN won. The judge temporarily gave Jim Acosta's, quote, press pass back, and they believe it was a win against the Donald. And I don't think so. I think it was a temporary, you know, slap in the face in the skirmish. There's no doubt about that, right? But I think in the long run, Donald's going to do better to win this thing, and Jim Acosta is going to be the catalyst to make it happen. And I believe Jim's name is going to go down in history as what a shame because of his behavior. So Trump now, in the face of all that, or in the, wake of all that, right? Trump warns the media that he and his staff will leave if disrespected at press conferences. So if there's just too much disrespect, Donald's just going to simply pack up his bags and go home. Now, that's one thing that Donald can do. But I submit Donald ought to take a little bit more in-your-face approach. He ought to simply shut down press conferences altogether. Listen to me. We already can have FAQs. You can already submit your questions in writing and Donald can respond to them, right? Well, what if we just had President Trump, you know, speak out for the White House and speak on any topic he wants and take questions via an inbox? Hey, reporters, file your questions with the inbox. And hey, you got the weekly presidential address the president does. You got weekly briefings, or you got, you know, often briefings from the White House. You got sometimes the president give an address to the nation. Why give these media folks special privileges to ask you questions at all, Donald? Why not say I care more than just for the mainstream press who has had a special privilege at the trough of the president's feet forever? We're not doing that. We don't believe in special privileges at all. We're going to let everybody in the nation ask questions. We're going to let somebody sort through those questions that have been delivered in writing. And we're going to consolidate questions that are like or similar. We're going to watch Twitter trending for hot topics to provide answers to. We're going to provide answers to what we're doing in the White House. We're going to create this mix of the president speaks, if you will. Presidential firesides like they used to do right after World War II kind of stuff, if you will, and just simply shut down this special privilege of reporters in the first place. That's what Donald needs to really do. He needs to take off the gloves and listen to me for answers. But I appreciate that he'll leave if he's disrespected. I don't blame him. I wouldn't sit there and take the abuse from these idiots. But it's more interesting because Donald Trump then follows up and says this. Trump warned that despite the loss, that the White House is now writing up the rules and regulations to how press conferences will operate. And if they don't listen to the rules and regulations, we're going to be back in court and we're going to win. Now, I appreciate that threat from the Donald. Donald loves to make threats. Rarely does he carry out on his threats. I mean, he was supposed to sue the New York Times out of existence. And every time I turn around, at least according to the mainstream press, they have greater numbers of subscriptions and such. So, you know, I appreciate that Donald's talking a lot about it, but I hope he does something. And Donald, I hope some of your staff is listening and transcribing notes for you or doing something so you can get a handle on our proposals. But I submit to you, why do these press conferences at all? Why run around and back this dramatic theater dog and pony show in the first place? Where you have a fistful of enemies, like Jim Acosta and others, like what George Ramos or whatever the guy's name was or whatever that was a Univision reporter. Okay, he used to be the battle guy. Why do you meet with these clowns and give them special privilege to ask questions in the first place? What makes them a more worthy reporter than I, Donald? What gives them the right to monopolize the president's time and the public viewing of the president and have them manipulate and create such a hostile, hateful, deceptive, dishonest, fake news, immoral, whatever you want to call it, environment? Why should we let them create that dog and pony show? President Trump, why don't we create a way that's more fair, that we let the American people ask the questions and the mainstream press can sit back and, you know what, they can digest sound bites if they choose, but why give them special seating, special privilege, special venue? Why not just go to the American people and say, look, everybody can submit, you know, press box or press questions at whitehouse.gov and people can email questions and then somebody would sift through and they would, you know, coordinate the questions and square it away. And then you could monitor Twitter and other places for trending topics. You might even monitor TalkStreamLive.com. That's where a bunch of talk show hosts get together and trending topics emerge, right? And why don't you use that as your gauge and your question feeding mechanism? And then nobody could steal the mic, right? Nobody can get special privilege. And then the president can just speak and do these daily press conferences. Hey, today, you know what? I'm going to speak for 10 minutes. I'm going to do a White House whatever, and you could alternate between the president and the vice president to answer questions, so the president doesn't have to take on all the work. You could have the press secretary, you know, do it sometimes. And you would simply just answer questions that people have in a meaningful way. And it wouldn't be as political. It wouldn't give these special people privilege. Anyway, Donald, we ought to talk about that. You ought to invite me to the White House. I don't drink beer, but I do eat Jell-O. But I don't do Jell-O shots. You say, what the heck, Sam? Are you even talking about? Well, I'll tell you. Senator Mike Lee is speaking out pretty boldly. But again, Mike Lee is kind of a quiet guy and he doesn't get much coverage. But Senator Mike Lee has been speaking out for years on what he calls federalism and the separation of powers. Federalism and the separation of powers. Really great, great topics. And I bring it up because Mike Lee doesn't get near the coverage that he deserves. Now, is he a perfect guy? No. Does he do things I disagree with? Yes, just like everybody else. But I believe he's one of the best. I believe he does a better job than most people really give him credit for. That's why we play the commercials where I cut out some of his audio, where he speaks out in strong, noble, bold defense of pro-life. Anyway, so he gives this big, long speech. And it's really long. It's like 30 minutes long, so I can't play it all. But I wanted to play part of it. And he starts out by talking about deceptions and when you only see part of a picture of something. And I think that's one of the great problems in America is we only see part of the picture of things. Really. We only see part of the picture. And so he talks about he likes Jeff Sessions and he thinks Jeff Sessions will do a great job. And he backed him for being, you know, the key guy for Donald. And I disagree with Mike Lee on this, but he did point out that, you know, Jeff Sessions, when he got, I don't know what you call it, placed by the president in position or whatever, he had Mike Lee turned around and all of a sudden saw Jeff Sessions with this big blanket and this doll. And Mike Lee's thinking, what the heck are you, why do you have a doll, Jeff? What's going on? And he thought, well, maybe he's doing a big pro-life demonstration with this doll or who knows. Anyway, he didn't realize, but what he was really doing is Jeff Sessions had his granddaughter on his lap and his granddaughter had a doll and then the doll had a blanket. And so Jeff Sessions looked like he had this doll and this blanket. But on closer scrutiny, Jeff Sessions had his granddaughter on his lap in attendance at first. And the granddaughter had the doll and the doll, you know, and the blanket and such. And so, you know, his point is at first appearances, things seem strange when you don't see the whole picture. And he goes on and he talks about when he got to Washington, he started creating at 3:30 p.m. every Wednesday, come and eat Jell-O with a Senator Wednesdays. And at first I used to mock that and just go, what on earth? What a pablum thing to do. What's he doing? The more scrutiny, though, you start to understand what he's doing. And he talks about these appearances when you only have part of the picture that aren't the real story. Let's talk about that, because boy, isn't that the case. in the Republic.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped-up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
All right, we're talking about Mike Lee. We're talking about the separation of powers. And we're talking about federalism. And we're talking about how Mike Lee is saying, you know what? Sometimes things are way different than they appear if you don't see the whole picture. And so Senator Mike Lee, for example, has this big speech that he gave on this that I don't think most people know about. Anyway, he talks about these appearances. And so he started these Jell-O Wednesdays where people come and eat Jell-O and hang out with the senator and ask questions and get their picture taken. And I've been there and done that, by the way. And at first I thought it was super cheesy, and I thought, you know what, what's going on with that? Come on, Mike. But you know what, it's his way of reaching out. It's his way of just kind of having a joke because, hey, the state of Utah eats more Jell-O than any other place on the planet. And so, hey, they're saying, you know, let's do this Jell-O thing. But anyway, then it started around the water cooler in Congress that, hey, Mike Lee was doing Jell-O shots in his office. Here's Mike.
Several of my colleagues approached me and said, is it true that you're doing Jell-O shots in your office? I wasn't sure what that was at the moment, but I checked and I said, no, that's not what we're about. That's not what we do. Anyway, when you come to my office for Jell-O Wednesday at 3:30 on a Wednesday, make sure that you visit a couple of places in the Capitol. One of the places you ought to visit is the Capitol Visitor Center. It's this underground place. It's actually quite nice. For being underground, you don't feel like you're underground because they have a lot of skylights. But they mess a few things up as they're explaining Congress. They mess a few things up by giving you only part of the picture of what the Constitution does. And by giving you only part of the picture of what the Constitution does, they distort it. There are several places where they've taken quotes from the Constitution to explain the powers of Congress. One of the quotes that they take says, to promote the progress of, and then they have ellipses, the useful arts, and then more ellipses. Now, you get the sense from reading this, by reading only a few of the words in the sentence, that it's the job of Congress to just promote the arts and promote good things generally. Not so. They're referring to a clause in Article 1, Section 8. It's known as the Intellectual Property Clause, the language of which says Congress has the power to promote the progress of science and the useful arts by securing for limited times the exclusive rights to their inventions and works. In other words, this is the clause that allows people to get trademarks, copyrights, and patents. But it takes on a very different meaning when you stick that ellipsis in there and you remove some of the words. It's like I had a law school professor who reminded us it's very important when writing your law school essay exams not to omit a certain word that's essential to the meaning of the sentence, like, for example, the word not. It can change the whole meaning of the sentence. So what I'm trying to say here is that we have to read the whole Constitution. We have to read each sentence line by line. We got to read the whole sentence. Don't take out part of the sentence. Don't take out the word not. Don't add ellipses where you're taking out something meaningful. Now, there are some parts that are particularly important. I don't mean to say that every single line of the Constitution is equivalent to every other single line. But what I am saying is read it in its entirety. And as my late father used to say, read it so that you can see the forest from the trees. If you look at the big picture of the Constitution, you'll understand that while there are a number of wonderful protections in here, there are two protections. And I know I'm a broken record on this, but it is quite intentional that I'm a broken record on this because it's absolutely essential for our liberty that we understand this. There are two protections that I think are more important than every other feature of the Constitution combined. They are the two structural protections in the Constitution, the vertical protection we call federalism and the horizontal protection we call separation of powers.
Now, that is critical to understand. I usually don't define that separately like that. I just say it's the separation of powers vertically and horizontally. But he's right. And I want to play this from Mike Lee, this section of speech. Again, I don't normally play super long segments of somebody else's stuff on my talk show, but on Saturdays we try to kind of elongate some of this stuff and play more of these sound bites. And once in a while we do it when it's justified. This is one of those times. Mike Lee doing a great job breaking this down. He is an attorney. He has studied the Constitution. Obviously, it's very near and dear to him. He doesn't want to add and take away, and he understands that the word is pretty critical, or the word not, or the omission of words. Okay, but listen to what he says very carefully. I'll rewind even.
They are the two structural protections in the Constitution, the vertical protection we call federalism and the horizontal protection we call separation of powers. Both of those have a common purpose, and they serve as complements to one another. Both of them, when they work together, shore up the other. And both of them, taken together, protect us against the immense dangers associated with the excessive accumulation of power in the hands of a few. Because that generation understood something about power and what happens when too few people have too much power without any restraint. Bad things happen, because we've learned by sad experience that it's the nature of human beings, when they get a little authority, to abuse it, to exercise unrighteous dominion. They might not have put it in those exact words, but I'm going to choose those exact words today. We know that about people. People are in a fallen state. But the fact that they're fallen doesn't mean they're savages unavoidably. They're still redeemable, but they're fallen, and they're flawed, and they're mortal. If, in fact, men were angels, and I'm using men here in the gender-neutral tense, but I don't think at the Eagle Forum we're going to really worry as much about that.
So he's speaking to the Eagle Forum. He's speaking to women. And when he means men, he means mankind, right?
If, in fact, men were angels, they'd have no need of government. And if government could be administered by angels, we'd be in a much better condition. We wouldn't have to put all these restraints around government. But we're not angels, and we don't have access to angels, at least not for the purpose of administering government, at least not yet. I look forward to the day when that might happen. But we don't have that. And so we have to compel the government to do two things. First of all, it has to administer government. It has to govern. But secondly, we have to compel government to restrain itself. And that's why federalism and separation of powers are so important. Federalism is, of course, the vertical protection that says that most of the power is supposed to remain close to you. Most of the power is supposed to remain with your state legislators, with your governors, with your members of your city council, your county commissioners. We're supposed to exercise only a few powers that are unavoidably national. Weights and measures, trademarks, copyrights, and patents, declaring war, regulating trade or commerce between the states and with foreign nations. There are a few others, but you get the idea. Everything else is supposed to remain close to you. And separation of powers reminds us that we've got three branches of government. One branch, the branch where I work, Congress, that makes the laws. Another branch, the executive branch, headed by the president, that enforces the laws, or is supposed to, in theory. A third branch, whose job it is to interpret the laws where people disagree as to their meaning. You know, over the last 80 years, something has happened to both of those. Our drift from one has facilitated our drift away from the other. It's kind of a chicken and egg problem, in that I can't necessarily tell you which drift started the other's drift. But what we've seen is we've turned both of these principles upside down. Madison described the powers of the federal government as few and defined, and those reserved to the states as numerous and indefinite. Today, you could say the exact opposite. With the federal government regulating everything from how much water your toilet flushes to how many grams of riboflavin are reported on the side of the box of Cheerios you ate this morning. And so federalism has been eroded. But at the same time, at exactly the same time, and these both started in the 1930s, there was a big push. It's not that there weren't other efforts prior to that. Woodrow Wilson did a number on things. Teddy Roosevelt tried, but both of them, to a degree, were held in check by the other branches. FDR, as soon as he took office in 1933, started a big push to get rid of federalism and separation of powers, which was ironic, by the way, given that just a couple of years earlier, as governor of New York, he had given a speech in which he had said, "I've thought about it and I've concluded that the only way that we could ever see a type of tyranny, at least the sort of soft tyranny that you see in nations that have elections, would be if nearly all power of government were consolidated in our national government and we subordinated state authority. And at the same time, we put a lot of that authority in the administrative state." Well, just a couple years later, he found himself president of the United States. And no sooner had he become president of the United States than he started getting the federal government involved in all sorts of things he'd had no business doing. And he started saying the people's elected representatives within Congress were inadequate. What we needed were experts, wise men. And they really were just men back then.
Wow. There you go, Mike Lee. Well, here's some of the rest of it. But he really breaks down this separation of powers, this federalism, or the vertical and horizontal separation of powers that I speak of so fondly. We've lost them. Now, he mentions that it really happened in the 30s, and I agree they put on the accelerator in the 30s. But it happened during the Civil War. It happened in 1913 when they created the Federal Reserve and income tax and such, too, right? Hold on.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, The Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
All right, so we're listening to a speech given by Mike Lee talking about the separation of powers and federalism, the vertical and horizontal separation of powers to make sure no one gets too powerful. And he's telling you about in the 1930s. Listen up.
And what this did is it separated the American people from their government. So the American people lost power twice. They had power stripped away from them in two steps. First, power was stripped away from them at the local level and moved to Washington. And then within Washington, the people's own elected representatives, at the request of the President of the United States, started delegating that power and handing it over to unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats, these wise men who FDR put in place. Those wise men that made the laws.
Now, I got to disagree with Mike Lee a little bit. They didn't delegate it because they don't have authority to delegate their power to somebody else. We gave them power in Congress. They don't have the authority to delegate it to the executive branch. That's not within their purview. So I understand what he's trying to say, but I disagree. They literally didn't do their job, and it got stolen from them, and they didn't guard the hen house. That's really more of the truth of the matter. But his point's well taken, nevertheless.
And nobody was really accountable. And before long, we started spiraling toward the kind of government that doesn't really care about the people, that doesn't really worry about the fact that the people don't want this sort of government. So we fast forward 80 years, and what we see is a group of people, 320 million people, the overwhelming majority of whom are dissatisfied with that same government, who are seeing that America's poor and middle class have suffered, and that as we've consolidated power in Washington, taking power away from the people, moving it to Washington, within Washington, having the people's elected lawmakers hand that power over to unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats, that's been really good for the rich and the well-connected, and it's hurt the poor and the middle class, and basically everyone other than a select few. It is no coincidence, for example, that six of our nation's 10 wealthiest counties are suburbs of Washington, D.C. This notwithstanding the fact that Washington, D.C., well, a lovely place, some neat tourist sites, some nice monuments that are actually monuments rather than de facto wilderness areas, but we'll set that aside for a minute. Nice places to visit, but this is not a place that is the store of any vast cache of natural resources. It's not a technological innovation hub. It's not a banking hub. It manufactures basically nothing. No, the money is there only because the power is there, concentrated among the hands of a few elites. That is what has to change. That is what explains a whole lot about how the 2016 election cycle turned out quite differently than a lot of people thought it would. Because the American people want something different. Whether they can explain to you the intricacies of federalism and separation of powers and our drift from them or not doesn't matter. They know something's wrong. And they want the wrongs to be righted. They want power returned back to them. so that once again the government will work for the people and not the other way around. When I walked in here today, I was reminded, as I am every year when I speak to this great group, that it was among friends, because as I walked in, I saw all kinds of displays, writings, and constitutional script. And I want to thank each of you for being here, for being actively engaged in the good causes in which you're involved, for being actively engaged in this great organization that stands for liberty. You all are at the cutting edge of this. You all are the influencers. You are the people who actually read this document and take the time to educate your friends and your neighbors and your family members, even the crazy ones, about this document. Because all that has to happen in order for us to make sure that we return power to where it belongs, to the people, is for us to know about this document, to be able to understand it. Together, we can restore it. It took 80 years to get here. It can't take 80 years to restore what's been lost. We can do it faster than that. It won't be instantaneous, but we can do it. We can. And we must, and together we will. Thank you.
So there you have it. Mike Lee doing a pretty darn good job there, breaking it down. And I think that Mike Lee has got a lot of things that I don't agree with him on. You know, he's more for a kind of a hawkish war mentality than I would be. You know, he talks about the elite, but yet he's very hard to see and visit yourself. If you want to get him on the radio, he's come on with us a couple of times. I'm grateful for that, but it's very tough. I mean, it would seem to me that he would want to come on our radio program quite often. But again, you would say, well, Sam, your radio program's too small. It doesn't matter. And then I would come back and say, okay, well, what if Mike Lee and Orrin Hatch, Mitt Romney, or, you know, some of these other senators and congressmen started coming on the radio with us regularly, how small would we stay? Remember, sadly, that's where power is. In other words, hey, if you have all these guys surrounding us, pretty soon, that's where the focus would be. That's where the, right? And so, you know, it's kind of a chicken and an egg, as he put it, with this federal power versus delegation of authority versus, you know, checks and balances versus, you know, hey, you say we're too small, so we don't matter, therefore we don't come on your radio program. But at the same time, you say, well, man, you know, your radio program would be big if you'd come on the radio. Same with Donald Trump. Look, if Mike Lee and Mitt Romney and Donald Trump made regular appearances on this program, how long would it be till it wasn't an obscure, tiny program? And you could say, well, Sam, you're just sour grapes because you're not very big talk shows. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, are we going to change back to what we once had? Who gets the power? The big talk show hosts that are in massive corporate media, international media, don't you know? Or the talk show hosts that are in Washington, D.C., or that have a big whatever. Okay, we need to return power back to the little guy. We need to return power back to the local municipalities. We need to have checks and balances that say, hey, just because someone's got a little talk show or a big talk show, let's let the people decide what they want to listen to, what they want to focus on. Not the mainstream press. Right now, the mainstream press decides, and we fall into that trap. Let me give you an example. Senator Lee did a tremendous job breaking down federalism and the separation of powers. Great speech, by the way. I commend you, Mike Lee. And really, that Jell-O example is kind of a funny one, because I've kind of thought, you know what? What's he doing that Jell-O thing for? But you know what? Then they start saying, man, you know, the Mormon senator from Utah is doing Jell-O shots in his office, man. Well, that's not what he's doing at all, see? It's a lighthearted way to kind of say, look, I come from Utah, and I'm going to remember my roots. And I'm going to have an open forum to meet with the people. It may not be as detailed as you would like. It might not be a complete sit-down, but it's something. I mean, how many senators meet or make themselves available to the public once a week, huh? Very few. So, you know, is I might say it's not as good as I would like, but you know what? It's a step in the right direction. All right, now, I bring this up because Orrin Hatch received the Medal of Freedom. I kid you not, the Presidential Medal of Freedom was given, you know, it's given to multiple people, right? Basically a list of the freedom fighters, kind of like the Hall of Fame for freedom folks, via the president and such like that. Well, Donald Trump gave Orrin Hatch Medal of Freedom. And I don't see it like Trump does. I don't think Orrin Hatch was a great senator. I think he started out pretty decent. But I think over time, he literally, in my mind, he's done some great things, but he's caved on some critical things. And I'm very disappointed in Orrin Hatch's service. He was there for 40 long years. And what would you say is his claim to fame? You could name a couple of things. But by and large, I would say, man, he didn't stand up for the supreme law. Mike Lee has done 10 times more in office than Orrin Hatch ever did, and he's been there a much shorter time. Right? Anyway, I'm disappointed in Trump, and I'm disappointed in Orrin Hatch for all that, right? And I'll tell you, you can determine a person's character when it's in private, when nobody's looking. Well, I've got a public experience when it was in private. Let me explain, because that doesn't make any sense, does it? Well, it does, if you give me a second. So Orrin Hatch, he was in private because he thought he was just kind of going to an event that nobody was watching. What he didn't realize was it was a public event, but only for a private group. So it was a wedding. And I went to the same wedding that Orrin Hatch went to. And I was in line to greet the bride and groom and tell them I love them and give them a hug and congratulate them and all that, because they're friends and family and loved ones. And so was Orrin Hatch there for the same reason. Of course, he had a different relationship than I did. I won't go into the details. So the point is, it was a public event because there was a lot of people there. It was a private event because you had to be kind of invite only, right? It was public because Orrin Hatch is always being scrutinized as a senator. It was private because he didn't realize that anybody was watching him. He thought he was kind of under the cloak of anonymity in a way, because he was at a, quote, private event, and people didn't really realize. So I'm standing in line way back there waiting for my turn to greet this couple at this wedding. Orrin Hatch walks in, grand entrance. Everybody notices that it's Orrin. And so he kind of hangs out for a minute, gives a little bit of time for people's eyes to kind of go off him and say, oh, wow, the senator walked in. Okay, well, cool. And then when everybody's eyes left him, mine didn't. Those around me watching on my behalf, because I'm a blind person, so I didn't really get to watch him. But, hey, they described to me exactly what happened. So Orrin Hatch waits till all eyes are off him, till where he's not in focus. And he literally, instead of getting in line with the rest of us, he literally jumped at the front of the line. In other words, cut in line. Met the bride and groom and gave them his congratulations and all that kind of stuff. And then he just literally, before you know it, whisked out the door and he was gone. And that told me a whole lot about Orrin Hatch's character. When we talk about federalism, and this, in other words, proper delegated authority to Washington in the first place, very limited in scope, very broad in scope, left to the states and the people respectively. Go read your supreme law of the land and the Bill of Rights if you don't believe me. It told me a whole lot about his character, because he believes he's more important than I am. Okay, he didn't get in line like I did. Now, I'm a nationally syndicated talk show host. And by the way, I have a much closer relationship to the people that I'm discussing than Orrin Hatch did, by far. But I waited patiently in line and took my turn like everybody else, because I don't think that I'm more important than anybody. I'm just like you and everybody else. We're Americans, man. And we don't believe Americans' whole principles are, we don't believe in kingdom or kings. We don't believe in elite or royalty or these kinds of things, right? We believe in the great middle class. We're all God's children, and we're all like one. But when Orrin Hatch literally came in, thought that the eyes were not on him, cut in line, felt like he was better than everybody else, then blazed like a rock star, I lost so much respect for Orrin Hatch, it's beyond imagination. I just went, you know what? This guy is an absolute elitist. And when congressmen and senators and presidents and professional people, whether they be rock stars or famous people or celebrity, whoever they are, when they start to believe they're above the people that have special privileges, that's when you say, hey, wait a minute. You can't expect the government. You can't expect the checks and balances to work properly, because they will circumvent them. Most people would get in line. Orrin Hatch circumvented that line for his own benefit, because he thought, I'm more important. I'm royalty. I'm elitist. And so I lost so much respect for Orrin Hatch with that single example incident that it's shocking. Anyway, there you have it. Hour in the can, hour two coming up. We declare this nation shall endure.